Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up? This is Sully from Godsmack. Strap on those boots, baby, because you are now in the trenches of the war room with the one and only Mistress Carey right here on the Mistress Carey Podcast.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan, and you're listening to Mistress Carey.
Her hair is so lovely. Pretty eyes.
Hey, this is Brent from Shinedown, and you're listening to Mistress Carey. Hey, Carey, go put your bra on, girl.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you be listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carey.
What's up? This is Aaron from Stain, and you're listening to Mistress Carey.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, and you're listening to the one, the only, Mistress Carey.
Hey, this is David from the band Disturbed, and you're listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carey.
Hi, Bruce Dickinson here from Iron Maiden. Yes, indeed, Miss Whiplash herself, Mistress Carey, is here to unchain your brain.
Hi, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to Mistress Carey.
This is Dennis Leary. You are listening to my favorite, Mistress Carey.
Hey, this is Corey from Stone Sour, and you're listening to... You have the privilege of listening to Mistress Carey.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Mistress Carey, reporting for duty from MCHQ for episode 199 of the Mistress Carey podcast. And before we get to this week's guest, Chris Jericho from Fozzy, I want to remind you about everything you can find online at mistresscarey.com. You can get every episode of the Mistress Carey podcast and every episode of my weekly video show, Cocktails in the War Room. You'll also find the concert and event calendar with all of my appearances and all the shows coming through New England this year. Plus, you can read my blog, send me a message directly to the studio, and shop in the online Mistress Carey store. Find all that and more at mistresscarey.com. Chris Jericho is the lead singer of Fozzy. He's also a professional wrestler in the AEW, a podcast host of the show Talk is Jericho, and a member of the KISS tribute band Quarantine. He also runs the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Cruise, and recently found enough time in his day to sit down with me to talk about his love of coffee, traveling, the best Super Bowl commercials, the band's new song Spotlight, and why they're releasing singles rather than full albums. We also talked about vinyl, his love of the Beatles and Ozzy, and the Rolling Stones, what it means to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, his ideas on marriage and family, his pet dogs, how he takes care of his vocal cords, and what he has got in his trophy case. He even filled me in on Fozzy's greatest or worst Spinal Tap moment. And that's just the beginning. He's one of the busiest guys in rock and roll, and I was so excited that he said yes when I asked him to come on the show. So allow me to introduce you to Chris Jericho from Fozzy. Good morning, Mr. Jericho.
Top of the morning to you, Mistress Carey.
How are you?
Rocking, nonstop rocking.
I'm always curious in the morning what band members have. Are you a coffee guy? You're different because you're an athlete and a musician. So are you just drinking water this morning or are you a coffee guy?
I'm a coffee guy. Yeah, yeah? I like enjoying. No matter where we are in the world, whenever I get up. One of the cool things about being in a rock and roll band is you have a tour manager who kind of knows your habits, and I'll just shoot him a text and he'll have the coffee up there. And the next thing you know, you're up and ready to go. So, I'm not like, if I don't get a coffee that I'm angry or anything like that. I just like having something warm in the morning and it gives you a little bit of energy and you're ready to rock. It's more of like a signal that the day is starting.
Touring musicians are some of the most well-traveled people on the planet. So who's got the best coffee? Where have you gone around the world where you're like, okay, this is good?
I mean, it's interesting. Like, it depends basically where you go in said countries. You know, like the thing about Europe that's kind of strange is their coffee has come like in this much, right? Like, like 2 inches of coffee, like in a 5-inch glass and or cup, and you're like, where's the rest of it? You know, or like a cafe a coffee Americano, which means American coffee, which is like super dark, but it's very small. It comes in a little like a thimble of a cup. So that's a little bit frustrating. So there's places that you can go, like in the UK, that are coffee places like Starbucks, where you can actually get a full cup of coffee. But you know, yeah, like so it really depends on where you go. I'm not a Starbucks guy per se. I'm a Dunkin'
guy.
I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee the best.
Do you got one of those track suits from the Super Bowl commercial yet?
I mean, wasn't that the best commercial in the Super Bowl? I'd love to have one for sure.
They sold
I'd be the reluctant friend. They actually were selling them.
No, Dunkin' Donuts actually was selling them, and they sold out almost immediately. The Dunk Kings tracksuits. Of course they sold those.
Who wouldn't want one of those, man? That's going to be Fozzie's next tour uniform. All five of us will be wearing the Dunk Kings Fozzie jumpsuits.
I have not seen anyone wearing them in the wild yet, in and around Boston, but I know it's coming. I have a feeling... You know, maybe this spring, like someone will, maybe opening day of the Red Sox or something, somebody will have one on.
I think it's going to be one of those things when they finally do wear it, it's going to be like, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but right now, no one knows the hell I'm doing. So
greatest Halloween costume on the planet.
Yeah, for sure.
For this year.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Well, I'm super excited to talk to you because you've had so much going on, and now this new song, Spotlight, is just everywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing because if you look on the charts, it'll show you how many weeks each song has been on the chart. And I think Spotlight's at about 20 weeks now, which is, you know, like 5 months and change, which is huge. I mean, to get that type of longevity, and if you know anything about rock radio, which you do, when you start getting spins, then, you know, you try and get other stations, and you got to keep the plates spinning all across the country to continue to get those plays, to get those numbers. So for us to be in the top 10 5 months in just shows that this song has some serious legs. It's got some longevity and it's got some traction. So it's great, man. Like anytime our last song single, I Still Burn, I believe was the most played song on iHeartRadio. Spotlight's like on the charts after 20 weeks. It's number one for 6 weeks on the secondary rock charts, which is like smaller cities around the country. So, you know, wherever you get that type of pull, you know, you get something special. And we're really happy, not just with how, you know, Spotlight's become another top 10 hit for us, but the fact that it's been on the charts for months and months and months, which means people are still digging it after all this time.
I've never had to make a music video, but I would assume it's a weird experience that you feel kind of foolish. The video for Spotlight with those drones, how did you focus on doing anything? Because those drone shows are freaking cool.
That's really cool. But the thing is, so for me, it was all on green screen, which is even weirder because you're just by yourself. There's not even any drones. Like, those are actual real drone shows that they do, but it's kind of projected behind me. And so when you're sitting there, there's, you know, camera people, and there's lighting people, and there's band people, and there's management people, and there's social media people, and you're just sitting there like doing this type of stuff and kind of lip syncing the words into words, as energy as you can. It's hard. It's hard to do. Like, it's not the easiest thing to do. So, you know, like you mentioned, it's a great video, but you know, it's not like you just show up and do it once or twice. You got to like kind of mime this and provide this energy and jumping and kicks and spins, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 times. So you're doing that for, you know, pretty much an hour straight. And it's quite the cardiovascular aerobic workout when you're all said and done.
Doing it in front of a green screen too, you always run the risk that somebody with a little technology is going to put stuff behind you. Like they did it with Queen Elizabeth a bunch, where they can make you do almost anything if you're in front of a green screen for that long.
Yeah, I mean, you can project whatever they want behind you. So the good news is we have final editing say on any video that we do. So, the thing is, and it's interesting how the culture has kind of changed. I've noticed that, like, you know, 20 years ago, people stopped buying records because you could get music, you know, for free on, you know, streaming. So that kind of changed things. And then, you know, video shows disappeared. So videos were played on YouTube and you could see the views on that. I mean, Judas has, I think, almost 70 million views. But then a few years after that, not as many people even watch videos anymore. It's gone back to all streaming, you know, so you kind of like you have to adapt with what's going on in the culture. And, you know, we didn't even do probably won't even do a video for the next song unless we have some really crazy idea, because people just aren't watching as much as they did before. So it's interesting to see how technology makes people's habits change.
And it's come full circle because now vinyl is back in a major way, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And I would venture to say that most people who collect vinyl don't even really listen to it. I mean, my cousin listens to nothing but vinyl. For me, I collect vinyl, but just to have the actual vinyl, it's cool to have, you know, the big picture and just having those. Like, for example, if I was at home, they're all behind me when I do Zooms. You can see whatever album I decide to put, you know, behind me for that month or whatever it may be. One thing I know for sure is when you do shows, I mean, we just came back from our biggest UK tour ever. And every night you're signing stacks of the boombox vinyl album because people love the signed copy of the record. It's a souvenir, you know, and you probably will buy that record, get it signed, and still listen to streaming because it's so much more convenient when you're in your car or, you know, at the gym or whatever it may be. But to have that actual souvenir, it's like a piece of art. And that's very important for that. It's interesting, though. I was talking to Bruce Dickinson this week on my podcast on Talk is Jericho, and we were discussing how when you get a record done, if you want to get it pressed on vinyl in this day and age, you have to wait like 6 months. That's how backed up vinyl production is. So you could have a brand new record and be ready to release it. But if you want the vinyl to come out at the same time, you have to hold it off for 6 months. So there's so many weird things. Like, what do you mean? There's a shortage of vinyl in the world of all things. There's a shortage of like stuff to make a record that, you know, doesn't seem like a viable thing, but it is.
And so not a lot of places that can actually press them.
Right. Exactly. So it's not something you ever really think about when you're recording a record. It's like, here's our new album. And now we have to find the vinyl, you know, in Zimbabwe or wherever it's produced to kind of brew up into the potion and however they make vinyl. But like you said, there's not a lot of places that do it. And it's just part of the business in 2024.
What about your thoughts on the concept of going back to a singles kind of based music thing versus a full body of music and an album release? Because there's a lot of bands that are starting to go, maybe albums is just not what I'm going to do anymore.
Yeah. Well, we're one of them. Spotlight is not on a record. Spotlight is Spotlight. You know, it's a one-off and that's what it is. It's not like from the upcoming record, you know, Big Business or whatever. I think what really made us decide that was when we did the Boombox record. We called it the Chinese Fozocracy because it took so long to come out because we started recording it in 2019. And then, you know, the pandemic happens and you got this great record, but you don't want to release it when nobody can promote it. You can't go anywhere to play shows. So we held on to that and it took about 3 years to get released. And then during that time, it's like we've got 12 great songs on this record that we've lived with for years because we had to. And then you release three of them to rock radio, Nowhere to Run, I Still Burn, Insane. They all went to top 10, all big hits for us. You play three more songs live, Vulture Club, Relax, and Purifier. And then you got these other six songs that are just amazing songs, you know, like Army of One and What Hell Is Like, and The Worst Is Yet to Come. And it's like, they just go to the dead song graveyard. Like, we'll probably never play them live. They won't be released to radio because there's only so much you can do with each record. And so they just disappear. And it's like, man, we worked. And there's dozens of songs like that in the Fozzy category catalog where you're like, man, like this song just never even got a shot. And why would you want to do that? You know, and in this day and age, I think with the way people consume music, it's changed so much. A lot of people don't sit down for 60 minutes to listen to a record all the way through. Obviously, if you're an Iron Maiden fan and you've been doing that since you were 12 years old, you do it. You know, Metallica or AC/DC or those types of bands. But, you know, the new Struts album comes out and I listen to it and it's great. But I pick the songs that I like and I just listen to them over and over and over again. And I think that's what a lot of people like to do and prefer to do. So I think for us, we're just going to do, you know, a single, let's say every 3 or 4 months, rather than 12 songs every 2 or 3 years where 6 of them don't even really get a shot. I think a lot more bands are going to be doing that from now on because it's just a better way to promote your music, and product and content is king, as you know. So the more songs you have coming out regularly, the better it is. And I think it just works out well for the bands and for the fans to do that rather than just have to wait so long for this big glut of music where a lot of it doesn't even get appreciated in a lot of ways.
You talk about bands like Iron Maiden, AC/DC, bands that inspired generations of rock bands. I always ask songwriters and musicians about the two phases of their musical identity. So here's my theory, that you have the soundtrack to your childhood, the music that you get unwillingly exposed to by your parents and older brother and cool uncle, and then you hear something that you decide you like, and everything changes after that. So what was the soundtrack to your life? And then what was it? What band, what album, what song did you say, okay, hold on, I like that. And then from then on, it was different.
Well, I mean, thankfully, the bands that I was exposed to by my parents, what my dad's record collection was, were all, you know, the Stones, the Beatles, you know, the classics. So I was a massive Beatles fan when I was a kid, like a preteen. Like, I knew everything about the Beatles when I was 10. And I'm not talking like Yellow Submarine. I'm talking like who Magic Alex is and what Blue Meanies are and what Ginchy means and like all these types of things, you know, who wrote I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, and you know, I Only Wanted to Dance with You, first song that George ever wrote that was on a record, like that type of stuff. And at the time, as crazy as it sounds, like in 1982, when I was in grade six elementary school, Beatles weren't popular. Like, it was kind of like nerdy to like the Beatles. You know, but and I didn't care. I loved the Beatles, you know, and actually 1980 or so. It was like the Little River Band and Journey for everybody else. And for me, it was like, no, the Beatles are awesome. Then, so you're kind of like this nerdy guy. And then when I went to junior high school, you go to a different school. So that's grade six, and then grade seven is a different school. And this is where I went and I saw all of these girls wearing, like, remember the three-quarter rock shirt, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Ozzy, Scorpions. And I was like, if I ever really want to talk to these girls, I should probably listen to some of this music, because nobody likes the Beatles. I'm the nerdy Beatles guy. So I went to I used to collect comics, and I went to a comic book store that had used cassettes. And I had seen the Ozzy shirt everywhere. So I bought this Ozzy record called Blizzard of Oz for $2. I put it on. And of course, that's the famous, the best Ozzy record in a lot of ways. It starts with I Don't Know. And it goes into Crazy Train, which I had heard. And then the third song is this song called Goodbye to Romance. And it's essentially a Beatles song. And I was like, oh, there's no way that this guy Ozzy doesn't like the Beatles.
They're his favorite band.
I didn't know at the time, right? Because the Beatles weren't cool and Ozzy was the coolest guy. And then I realized, wait a second, it's all rock and roll and it all comes from the same place. And that's when I was like, okay, I can go listen to all of these bands that are amazing, that have the shirts out with the chicks, and still listen to the Beatles and Stones, because it's all related anyways. And then that's when it kind of hit me, like, rock and roll is more than just one band or one genre. Rock and roll is a feeling, and it all comes from the same place. Somebody might play a little bit heavier music or a little bit lighter, but it's still that feeling that you get. And that's kind of when it all changed for me. And I really just said, I'm going to listen to as much music as I can, especially heavy metal, but I know I can still go back to listen to these 60s bands if I choose, because it all comes from the same place.
I always say that it's the best gift my mom ever gave me, that she introduced me to the Beatles, who are my favorite band. Like, and, you know, just recently it was the 60th anniversary of their appearance on Ed Sullivan. And it doesn't matter how far back you go with a rock star. And I'm fortunate enough to interview a lot of them. At one point or another, when you do the archaeological dig of rock and roll, it always ends up back at the Beatles. And talking about songwriting or merchandising or, you know, going viral before viral was a thing, that they always come up in every rock conversation.
Well, you know, it's crazy too. Like, and I agree with you. And I was a tried and true Beatles number one. And about probably 10 years ago or so, I started really getting into the Stones. And really understanding just how incredible the Stones are, not just as a band, as an entity, as, like, you know, the thing with the Beatles is they had 9 years and it was amazing. And then they're gone. They never made it out of the 60s, right? And here we are with the Stones going on tour
in their
next
80s.
Month in 2024. And fucking Mick Jagger doesn't look like anything other than Mick Jagger. He's not like, so, like, think about, like, your dad or grandpa, 80 years old, like, this guy's running stadium stages. And I was like, the Stones are the greatest rock and roll band of all time. The Beatles might be the best, but the Stones are the greatest, because nobody will ever do what the Stones did at that level for 60 years and still putting out great material. And that's when I was like, listen, now to me, if you say you like the Stones better than the Beatles, I get it. Whereas 10 years and never. And I'm like, you know what? You have a lot of points. And let's go see the Stones next month and enjoy this amazing creature, like going to Jurassic Park. When the Stones are done, you'll never, ever have another band like them. And McCartney's McCartney and Elton's Elton and Billy's Billy. But I'm talking about a rock and roll band. No one will ever do what the Stones have done ever again.
And it's the funniest thing in the world that their tour is sponsored by AARP. Like, if that's not the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, a total tongue-in-cheek on that one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you this because you're a really good person to ask. I always ask band members, is it harder to keep a band together or a marriage together? And obviously, you got a pretty good track record on one side and a pretty good track record on the other. So
I think you know, much like marriage, it's all about compromise. And it's definitely like that in rock and roll. And the thing with Fozzy, you know, it's our 25th anniversary this year, believe it or not. And, you know, you got to really have respect for your fellow band members and let bands, the guys in the band, do what they do best. You know, and every band has the two, you know, the Mick and Keith, the Lars and James, the Steve and Bruce, the Steve and Joe. And in Fozzy, it's Rich Ward and Chris Jericho. And when we finally made an agreement between each other, you know, I'll let you do this because you do it best. You let me do this because I do it best, and we'll both coexist together. Then everything falls in place, you know. And then other than that, you got to put together a great band of guys who have the same mindset and are fun to be with. Because listen, recording the songs is important. The hour and a half live show is important, but the other 22 and a half hours that you're traveling in a tin submarine, you know, with each other for weeks on end across the world, you got to get along. And we've been very fortunate to put together a lineup where everybody is on the same page. Everyone's fun to be around. Everyone wakes up in a great mood, you know, and it's like, that's kind of what you want. And that's the secret to the longevity in rock and roll, is putting together a group of guys that you genuinely like to hang out with. And if you can find that, and they're great players as well, well, then you've got everything.
25 years of an anniversary as a rock band, you cross two milestones. Number one, you can officially be dubbed classic rock. And the other is that you become eligible for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And having a conversation about the aforementioned Ozzy, who got nominated as a solo artist this year, what are your thoughts on the Rock Hall? Does it matter? Is it dependent on the artist? What matters?
I mean, I does it matter? You know, who does it matter to? I mean, you're talking about a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that, you know, took 25 years to put Rush into it because of politics, and 25 years to put Kiss into it. And when they put Kiss into it, they wouldn't include the non-makeup members who had, you know, sold out arenas and sold millions of records. And then for Springsteen East Street Band, they put the first drummer on the first record who was in the band for 6 months. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is just on the whims of like, okay, well, Kiss is in, but only these four guys. And, you know, Iron Maiden's nominated, but then they don't get in. I mean, is there a bigger fucking band than Iron Maiden, you know, besides U2 and Metallica? I mean, seriously, that sells out stadiums in Latvia and in, you know, LA? Like, Scorpions. I mean, Scorpions are still massive in like 80 countries and they're not in. I went to the Scorpions last year at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, and there was 10,000 people there. So what's the view? There's no Motorhead, you know, Foreigner is just announced now. Styx still headlining. They're not in. Ted Nugent's not in. Like, and LL Cool J is. So what exactly are we talking about here? I think it's just a cool corporate night to announce a bunch of bands, and some of them are worthy and some of them are not. And what does it really matter? Because it's all based on opinions anyways, right? So I don't think Iron Maiden really cares if they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think Ozzy really cares either. But if they get in, I'm sure it's really nice. It's nice for the fans. I mean, Ozzy should have been in years ago. Ozzy's way bigger than Black Sabbath is, you know, at least to me. And I've been a heavy metal fan for almost, you know, 45 years. So it, to me, is one of those things where there's so many names. And once those names go in, then everyone else is going to get in. And then finally, there'll be some justice. But who really cares anyway? Like, does it really matter? All that matters is that they still are doing great shows and putting out great records. And they have millions of fans that support them. And, you know, if Motley Crue isn't in the Hall of Fame, it doesn't mean they're not a Hall of Fame worthy band, because they are. So just because you're deemed Hall of Fame, what difference does that really make? You know, that's just my opinion.
Well, that's why I asked you, because I knew you'd have one. You're not at a shortage of opinions, which is why it's so much fun to talk to you. And you're also somebody that's super busy balancing the podcast, like you talked about, obviously the wrestling and then the band. Is there something that you do when you go home besides sleep as a hobby to kind of unwind from all of that? Because you're probably one of the busiest people in the rock world, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when you go home just to kind of decompress, you know what I mean? And hang out with the family as much as you can. I mean, I like to kickbox. I kickbox as much as I can. I bike. I've got a great kind of a trail around my house where I can go for a bike ride for an hour. That's a great workout. So just kind of stuff like that, you know. I'm busy, but it's like, you know, I'm in a rock and roll band and I'm a wrestler. So being on the road is not easy, but it's also a lot of downtime, just kind of hanging around, you know, you're getting ready for the show. It's not like it's 9 to 5 in an office where I have to, you know, do all these files and all these reports. It's like you basically just hang out and you chill and you do the little odds and sods of jobs that you have to do or things you have to get done. And then you do the show later at night. And then after the show, you kind of relax and wind down. So the traveling itself is the hardest part for sure. The gigs themselves are probably the easiest part and the most fun. And so I think when you're home, just not traveling, I think is a hobby in itself, like just decompressing. And just like you said, not having to worry about planes, trains, and automobiles for a few days and just, you know, hanging out with the dogs that don't care what you do is when you get home, they just want treats and want to run around and have fun. So that's kind of maybe the dichotomy there.
I have to ask you about the dogs. I call it the geezer question. I talked to Geezer Butler on the show. He let it slip that he's got 13 cats and 5 dogs. And when I asked him how he keeps track, he said they're all named after gangster rappers. And after I picked myself up off the floor laughing, I now ask every musician on the show where they come up with the names for their animals. But I blame Geezer Butler for the ridiculous question.
Well, I think the kids all had kind of a lot of say in the names, Pharaoh and Ace and Oakley. Those were not chosen by me. The one that was chosen is I bought this little labradoodle at an auction. And I was like, his name is Angus. Like, I don't care what anyone says. His name is Angus. And it's like, that's not a good name. And of course, now you couldn't imagine him as anything else but an Angus. And he's a labradoodle. So he's got the poodle 80s rock hair. So it fits perfectly. I don't, like, we have 6 dogs, like I said, and I don't mind that the kids pick the name for all of them. But I got one and that's Angus. So that's mine.
Last year, when it came out that Steven Tyler had fractured his trachea and they had to sideline the Aerosmith tour, I thought of you immediately because the last time you were on the show, we talked about protecting your voice and you told me the story about getting kicked in the throat and being worried about your singing career. So as you get older as a singer and a wrestler, are you doing different things to protect your voice because you are so busy talking with the podcast, wrestling, and of course singing?
Well, the thing is, like, in 33 years of wrestling, I've never been hurt in the throat, and it just was one of those things. I actually got clothesline in the throat, which bruised my vocal cords, and I learned a whole lot about vocal cords and what they look like and how they respond and what you do. And they said there's no remedy to you know, it's not, you know, break your arm 4 to 6 weeks, you're back. There's no timeline on this, and I just had to do a lot of vocal training and vocal therapy. And now I'm back up to probably 95%, and I might never get that 5% back, but you adapt, you know. And I know that I'm back because we did a quarantine set, which is my 80s non-makeup Kiss cover band, where Paul Stanley's singing as high as he's ever sang. And prior to the injury, I was great, fine with it. Took a long time to get it back. Fozzie was a little easier, still took a long time, but I knew when I you can feel it. Okay, I'm back with Fozzie. I can sing, you know, the Vulture Club, for example, which got some super high parts that I couldn't do before. Do You Want to Start a War was another one. Songs like that, very high songs, Purifier. And now I've got those locked in, no problem. Chorus of Judas is very high. Quarantine, when we did the set on the cruise, was like, oh my gosh, I'm back. This sounds great. I feel confident. So it took, you know, a year and a half. That was August of 22 when that happened. And here we are, you know, April of 24 or May of 20, March of 24. So it was unfortunate. So basically that was it. It was just time, you know. And then when you're on tour, and then any musician will tell you this, especially ones that are seasoned, you just can't go out after, you know, you don't go out to the club after and have to. It doesn't mean you can't talk. I've never been one of the guys that sits, like Matt Shadow's a good friend of mine. If he's feeling sore, he just won't talk. He'll be like, all right, I can still talk, but I know my limits. I know my voice. I've got a very resilient, strong voice, but still, if you get any type of cold in there that gets you a sore throat, you could be in trouble. And any type of grading on the voice, especially for us, we do a lot of shows in a row. We just did 10 shows in 11 days in the UK because that's the way we like it. We don't like days off on the road. So you just gotta just be cool. Just chill. Don't talk a lot, but you can talk. And don't be screaming at a club after the show where people smoking and loud music. And, you know, if you do that, you're opening yourself up to a lot more wear and tear than you should be when you got to sing a 90-minute set every night. Like I mentioned, 10 out of 11 days.
That's what gets me too, doing multiple radio shows and then going out to a show and yelling over the crowd with all the smoke and everything. I pay the price the next day.
You do, singing along, you know what I mean? All that sort of stuff. If you're drinking and you're singing along. And I can tell too, like when I do my podcast, you know, I have to do the ads every week and the intro and all that stuff. And sometimes it takes me a couple weeks to listen to it back because I listen to every one of my shows and you can hear, oh man, I was really rough. It must have been during the tour because I can hear the wear and tear on my voice, or I can hear that I've got a sore throat. I can hear that I'm a little bit sick. And so you just kind of have to, you know, when you've been on the road as long as I have, you know what you can and can't do, and you know what the remedies are. And if worse comes to worse, you pull the ripcord and have a shot of whiskey before the show, and that kind of coats things a bit. And then, you know, we've got three other great singers in our band, and if I'm having a rough night, I just let the other guys carry the higher parts. And that's what every professional rock and roll band does.
You're such a huge fan of rock as well as being a performer yourself. And you've toured and played shows. You're playing Louder Than Life later this year in this massive festival with like 150 other bands. When you get home, you have got to have a trophy room, whether it's in your office where your belts are, but you've also got to kind of have some cool memorabilia you've been gifted from other musicians. So what do you have on the wall from other musicians that the rest of us rock fans would be envious of?
Well, the coolest thing I have on my wall for me, for us is the gold record for Judas. I mean, that's it's like I'm a big Stryper fan. Michael Sweet gave me a To Hell with the Devil double platinum award. The guys from Trickster gave me a gold album award from their thing. So they get those and it's cool. And somebody else's band, but you put it up on the wall. But the Judas one is the coolest thing that I have, because that's it. Like anybody that still hates Fozzy because I'm in the band, I got a gold record on the wall that says that we must be doing something right. And I remember when I was a kid watching, you know, Ozzy talk about his gold discs on the wall, or Rudolf Schenker from Scorpions showing his basement with like, oh, here's a gold record from Lithuania, and here's a gold record from New Zealand, and here's a platinum record from Thailand. And it's like, fuck, man, this is crazy. So for us to have a gold record on the wall is the coolest thing. And the other coolest thing, if you want to talk about accomplishments, was we got to open for Iron Maiden direct support at a stadium in Los Angeles. And that poster, Iron Maiden, California, Bank of California Stadium, with special guest Fozzy. And that's it. It wasn't a festival. It was just Fozzy and Iron Maiden. It's like that one was another one where you're just like, I can't believe this is real. So those are really, really cool things. And then the other thing that I have was I went online. It was during the pandemic after Eddie Van Halen passed away, to see how much Andy Van Halen guitar would cost. And it's very weird. Like guitar collectors will say, this one's not a real Frankenstein. He never played that. He might've just handed it to somebody. Anyways, this auction, the Frankenstein, as it's called, I had a certain amount of money that I was willing to bid, and it was gone like in two rounds. It ended up selling for like $75,000 or something like that. But what I did find was a signed Paul McCartney Hofner, which is the bass that looks like a violin that Paul plays. And that one I was able to get. It wasn't super expensive. I mean, it costs a good chunk of change, but man, like it's real. It comes with a certificate of authentication. The signed Paul McCartney Hofner is in my wall, or in my room, trophy room, prominently displayed, because to me that's amazing. And it's real estate, you know. There's only so many of those in the world that have been signed, and you know, Paul's 82, you know, sooner or later he might not be around, and that bass will be worth so much more, but I'm never going to sell it. It's obviously a great souvenir of probably the greatest bass player of all time, like we said earlier, from the greatest band of all time, if not one of the greatest bands of all time.
He just got his original Hofner back too. Did you
I saw that? Yeah, that was great.
Crazy.
It's amazing. After 50 years, somebody found that. It's insane.
He's going to be in the new Spinal Tap movie. So before I let you go, I always have to ask your worst Spinal Tap on stage disaster. Locked in the pod.
I mean, there's been, there's been a few. I mean, I could give a dozen of them, but I think probably we pulled up. Okay. So we were in like Birmingham or something, England, and we were supposed to take a right turn with the bus to get in the highway. Bus driver screwed up, drives up a road that's a dead end road that leads to a parking garage. Okay. So the problem is the bus driver doesn't know how to put it in reverse. He doesn't know how to reverse it back. He's panicked and he's stopped doing anything. So we've got this bus that's now blocking the traffic to get onto the highway and blocking traffic out of the parking garage. So we don't know what to do because no one can drive a bus. The bus driver's freaked out and we're talking like hours. And so everyone that's in the parking garage can't get their cars out. But the problem is it's Saturday night at like midnight and they're drunk. And the people that are trying to get on the highway can't escape either. So that then they're getting out of their cars. So then the guys in the cars behind the bus want to kill the band. The guys in the cars in front of the bus want to kill the band. The bus driver's screaming and freaking out, doesn't know what to do. So we're just on the bus trying to like weather the storm and trying to figure this out. And then the people behind the bus start getting into it with people in front of the bus. And there's now a big fucking gang fight between the parking garage people and the trying to get in the highway people. And then the cops come and they're getting involved. And it's like, why aren't you just reversing the bus? The bus driver doesn't know how. So finally this cop, he was like, fuck it, I'll do it. It gets on. The cop finally does it. But when the cop does it, he doesn't put the parking brake on. So then it starts going down the hill on its own. It headed right for another club where I thought, okay, we're just going to die and crash in this club. And then he finally is able to put the brakes on. And it's one of those things where all the dishes fall out of the kitchen area and they're fighting outside. And it was just like the most ridiculous. Like, what kind of a bus driver doesn't know how to put a bus in reverse and starts a fucking riot because of it? Only on tour.
Hello, Cleveland.
Yeah. Hello, Birmingham. Yeah. Hello, parking garage.
Spinal Tap's still funny because every rock band has got a story like that.
And wrestling, too. I mean, literally getting lost under the stage. I mean, that's happened more than once. All of those things. It's very scary when you watch that movie, just how much they nailed it, considering they were never in a touring rock and roll band at that level.
And now, 40 years later, the entire cast is coming back. And they're making another one. And it's like, oh, this one's going to be even better because those guys are going to have to cram into the spandex, which is never an easy thing to do at that age.
Never is at any age.
Yeah. Well, it was so good to see you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Anytime. It's always great to talk to you. And thanks for supporting Spotlight and Fozzy. And we'll talk to you on the next round.
Yeah, you got to come back to Boston soon or come back to New England so that we can come and see you again.
Yes, absolutely. That'd be great.
And we will have a Dunkin' Donuts Dunkin's tracksuit waiting for you when you get here.
Tell me, I'll wear it on stage. Don't tempt me, sir.
See you later. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Carrie.
Bye. Bye. There he is, the one and only Chris Jericho from Fozzy. If you want to check out the band's new song, Spotlight, or Quarantine's recent cover of Good Girl Gone Bad, you can check them out in the corresponding playlist for this episode. I make a playlist for every full-length episode of the Mistress Carey podcast that features all of my guest music and all the songs and artists that we referenced in the interview. The playlist is linked in the show notes. You'll also find all of Chris Jericho's links, all of Fozzy's links, the Talk is Jericho podcast, and of course, all the Mistress Carey links. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to the Mistress Carey podcast. New full-length episodes come out every Wednesday. Plus, every weekday, you get the Sit Rep, all of your rock news, music headlines, and entertainment updates in about 5 minutes. And you never know when we're going to release a bonus episode. You can join me live every Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern on my official Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Instagram for my weekly video show, Cocktails in the War Room. And you can always find me on the radio. Get the details on all of that and more at MistressCarrie.com. The Mistress Carrie Podcast, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.